Amen. Okay, so tonight's teaching, and so before that, we go on to reading, and a lot of the reading for Numbers chapter 9, I printed it off to expedite things so we can be on the same page, and really, so I don't miss things, to be able to see what certain things I've highlighted. But if you, going into the teaching, because it's really Numbers 6 and Leviticus 23, 24. But if you Google Jewish Day of Shouting, you see your Google thing. And just because Google says something doesn't mean it's right. In fact, it could be very wrong. If you ask something that's not politically, that does not benefit the Socialist Party, right? What is the Jewish Day of Shouting? What does it say there? The Jewish holiday, that's this artificial intelligence, Yom Teruah. Okay. Would somebody read that? Just read that.
Which translates to day of shouting or blasting. In Hebrew, is a day when people are commanded to shout, blow trumpets, and make noise. It is also known as Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, and marks the beginning of the Jewish New Year.
So, the Jewish New Year is done with what?
Noise.
Yom means day. Yom Kippur is Day of Kippur. So Yom, and I put that over here on the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
So you look up day. So I look at it. It's H3117. Yom. So when you see Yom before something, it's day. And so this is Teruah. And it sounds a lot like Ruach, but it's I don't know the affiliation. But it's the new year. It's the new year, okay? And okay, now keep reading. Yom Teruah. Go ahead.
Is one of the high holy days that takes place in the late summer or early fall in the northern hemisphere. The holiday is celebrated on the same date each year according to the Jewish calendar, but the date varies on the Gregorian calendar, usually between the second week of September and the end of October.
Isn't that an interesting way of putting it? It's on the same day. No, it's not. You guys change it. No, your calendars are different. So it's always on our same calendar. So with the Jewish calendars, is a lunar. Ours is based off the sun, so it is on the same day. I've never thought that. I just thought, no, it changes. It doesn't change. Ours changes. And so you can keep reading about this thing called Yom Teruah, shouting or blasts. And then I put over here, I looked it up to validate. Here this is. And actually, if you keep reading, they're gonna cite Leviticus 23:23 and 24, which we'll look at here in a second. Actually, you can go down here and read it. Somebody else reads this. I haven't validated this last part, but the biblical name for this holiday, Yom Teruah, Day of Shouting and Blasting, is the first of the high holy days, as specified Leviticus 23:23 and 25, that occur late summer. If you Google it, not that. Put a whole lot of faith in Google, but it says October 2nd this year. And on the second page, as we're going to go into this, you guys have to have a foundation when I start tying things in, otherwise I'm just making stuff up, which I have a reputation of doing. So shouting, so here's Leviticus 23:24. Here's this word, you can see how it's pronounced, Teruah, and what it can mean, here's a shouts 11 times, shouting 8 times, alarm 6, shout 3, blowing 2, joy 2, miscellaneous 4. You see what I highlighted though? What's it say in the highlighted part?
War or alarm or joy.
Or joy. Or joy. Alarm or joy. And so there's this word that's going to be for Yom Teruah, or it's going to be Day of Shouting. And this word is going to be used in other areas too. Other translations are going to say trumpets and things. You have no idea what they're talking about. They're going to say, a lot of Jewish people will call it the Feast of Trumpets or Festival of Trumpets. It's not necessarily trumpets. It could be trumpets, but it's, I was surprised when I Googled Day of Shouting and the first thing pops up is this is the Day of Shouting. So what are they doing this? It's the New Year. Now we'll go to have your Bibles ready.
Genesis 1:3.
Go ahead.
The New Year.
Genesis 1:3, which was
the beginning of creation.
Okay, beginning of creation.
That's the calendar.
And as we get ready to read Numbers chapter 9, a lot of it, I was talking with my wife recently, and she was talking about what I was getting from the conversation. She wasn't necessarily talking about it. It was being challenged, being uncomfortable. Are you comfortable right now at the university?
No.
What do you want to do? I want to go back to being comfortable, right?
Yeah.
This isn't worth it. Are you comfortable now at university? What does your flesh want you to do?
Quit.
Yeah. This isn't worth it. Can you survive with your English here in the United States?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here that don't speak the English language well enough to get a regular job, and so they live right down here, and under the table, and they're only Spanish-speaking people. This class is going to say, Yahweh is going to be able to use you to market to anybody. I don't want to be comfortable. And as she was discussing this, this is not necessarily the teaching. Almost every wonderful move in my life was after I became comfortable in something. It's almost as if Yahweh's waiting for you to get comfortable, and he's like, too comfortable. Let's go. Whoa, I just got this job. I just got a car payment and a house. That's why, and I'm not going to say that's why, but it would appear sometimes in our life we're just comfortable. And all of a sudden, I didn't get this house until I was comfortable living in your guys' basement.
Such a successful businessman, living in my parents' basement.
No, I had to break me. And it was once I was like, you know what? I finally got a family. I could hear food. I could hear people laughing. And I hadn't had a family in a long time. And I was like, I'm saving a heck of a lot of money, because I didn't just save rent. I budgeted all my bills. Here's how much I would be, and guess what I did with that money? I put it into savings too. That'd be going to water, that'd be going to electric, and all of a sudden I got a very nice looking checking account. With it, and I got comfortable, and guess what happened? Once I got comfortable,
yeah.
The purpose of your life and my life is not to be comfortable. That is a lie from our flesh and the world. If you have enough money, the right job, right, you'll get comfortable, do whatever you want. And that's not the purpose. The purpose of our life is to what?
Glorify Yahweh.
And without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing. And once we get comfortable, how much faith does it take? Chapter 9, as you read the notes of Numbers, is really the first year of Israel with their Elohim. And how much did they know about him? They don't even know his name. Moses didn't know his name. Adam knew his name. Terah knew his name. Noah knew his name. Abraham knows his name. But somehow, living in captivity, the name's wiped out. They don't even know his name. Are you kidding me? Talk about starting from scratch. Yeah. And here it is. And what I put in here is the first year, life with Yahweh. Life with Yahweh. And you can read. I put notes at the top just to try to project my thoughts before we read this at the very top. Don't get comfortable. We're going to start reading that Yahweh's going to say, hey, when the pillar goes up, we're moving. Well, I just planted a tree. I just put sod in. I just finally got the tent I wanted. I finally got the neighbors I want. And now it's... Right, and we're going to read this. You can imagine how many times Yahweh for 40 years, I'm not going to say he was doing this, but in my own life, once I get comfortable, he's like, that's it. Okay, we got to change something. And he does that with this. Why? Because the purpose of your life is to glorify him. And the purpose of your life is to have a life where you need him. If you don't need him, what's the purpose? Every father wants their children to keep coming back to him. You still need me? How much more so is Yahweh in Christ? So now you're in a challenge. Yahweh, it says in 2 Chronicles, Yahweh looks to and fro for things that need him. He wants to show himself strong. King David understood this. So where you guys are, you're right where you need to be. But one day at a time, what does that sound like?
Yes, TV show.
With Vera and I, we got introduced. My commitment to her was we enjoy one day at a time. Just enjoy your day. Give us tomorrow's bread. No. This day. Are you worried about tomorrow? Your prophecy was about that. One of your prophecies. That yesterday's gone. Today is being determined. And if you're... And I just heard a teaching. He goes, you are wasting time. Whose time? Yahweh's time. You're thinking about tomorrow? Or your morning yesterday? Tick. You're on the clock, man. And so the thing is, right now, one day at a time, living every day as if it was your last. One of the best examples of somebody living their with intention their last day was Jonah. I love it. Why? What did Jonah think was happening when he's swallowed by the sea monster? What do you think's going? What does he think's going to happen? How many Christians would be shaking their fist at Yahweh?
Yeah.
This is where I get died. Care of you. We just watched miracles from heaven, and when the daughter's sick, it's a great story and it's true, and I can relate. But the woman leaves church because she's offended by it. Instead of going to the Word, so it's easy for me to live. Go, you should be going to the Word. But Jonah, when he's swallowed, what does he say? I will look upon your holy mountain. He's imagining going before Yahweh. Here he is. He goes, this is it. I am here. I am. I can't wait to be with you. Thankful. When my son had a stroke, or he didn't have a stroke, he had seizures. You didn't even warn me. I was just praying and this and that. And I couldn't believe how weak I was. I turned on Yahweh. But the point is, living every day, I didn't mean to digress on that. And we're going to compare Numbers chapter 9 with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 15, 52. And Leviticus 23:24. So now we're going to read Numbers chapter 9. And what is this book called? Does anybody know?
The words.
Yeah, that's Deuteronomy. Very good. Genesis is Barashith, in the beginning. And the book of Numbers is called Bimitbar. It means in the wilderness. So that's what Yahweh named it. Not Numbers. Okay, and what's real important when we read this, I capitalize mouth. Because Rotherham's going to say bidding, but the word is mouth. So every time he says bidding, it is mouth. And so he'll stay consistent, so you can see the same thing. And what is the concept of this teaching? A shout. A trumpet. And here's Yahweh's mouth. You're going to see eight times his mouth, his mouth, his mouth. And here it is. Okay, if you guys just start reading.
Now on the day the habitation was reared, the cloud covered the habitation, even the tent of the testimony. And in the evening it was over the habitation like an appearance of fire until morning. Thus came it to pass continually. The cloud covered it and an appearance of fire by night. But at the mouth of the upgoings of the cloud from off the tent, then after that the sons of Israel set forward. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the sons of Israel encamped.
At the mouth of Yahweh, the sons of Israel set forward, and at the mouth of Yahweh they encamped. All the days that the cloud abode upon the habitation, they remained in camp. And when the cloud lengthened out its stay upon the habitation, many days, then were the sons of Israel keep the watch of Yahweh and would not set forward.
We're going to pause here for a second. This is the introduction of life with Yahweh. How long are we going to be here? None of your business. And they had to learn living day to day. Well, wait a minute. This is different. They're learning to live with Yahweh. Me. It's all about me. It's not your life. It's my life. I gave you the earth. Your flesh is made out of dirt. I gave you. You have Ruah inside you. I gave you through my son. And your whole purpose of your life is me. What is the purpose of life? Me. And Moses is my man. I'm going to teach you how to live with me. I'm building a nation. Here this whole thing is. And so you can imagine, just with the beginning of that, was it long days or was it short days? Can you imagine living like this?
No.
It's a completely different way of living. And what a great way for us to be living day by day, because we don't know when Christ is coming back.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, we'll go there. His disciples, he did tell them, I'm going to be dead. How many days?
3 days.
And I'm coming back. Meet me in where?
Galilee.
He did tell them that. Did they get that?
Nope.
No. I did it in the book of Acts. You got Mark Hankins go, are you guys kidding me? I died. I did that amazing thing. You guys didn't even show up to my party in Galilee? I had to go look you up? Christ is in Galilee. Where is everybody? Are you kidding me? He goes, looks him up, and he's like, I specifically told you. And then later on, they go, are you now going to establish your kingdom? And he went, ah. He said over and over and over again, the thief comes when the owner is not awake, right? And who is the thief when Christ is not, there's different resurrections, it's not all of them. But when does that, who is the thief? It's going to be Yahweh, sending his son. And when is it, okay, is that a pretty good thief knowing when we're awake and ready? Yeah. So when is he going to come? When you're not ready. With Santa Claus growing up, when is Santa Claus coming? There's a picture of my brother waiting up all night. And guess what Santa Claus was doing? Not yet. Not, he's asleep. Okay. So he tells him, and they were, when are you coming back? The purpose of your life is not to be preparing for him to come back like that. The purpose of your life is any moment, any second, he's coming back. The same thing as this. Now, start back up at verse 20.
And so it was, when the cloud would be a few days upon the habitation, at the mouth of Yahweh they remained in camp, and at the mouth of Yahweh they set forward. And so it was, when the cloud would be from evening until morning, as soon as the cloud went up in the morning, so soon did they set forward, whether by day or by night.
Or night. Soon. I never knew that. It could have happened that night. Hey, wait a minute. You ever hear about a doctor who's on call?
Yeah.
He's out somewhere, and all of a sudden his beeper goes off or his phone. I got to go. And here they are. Yahweh could have said, we're going to do it 3 a.m. The fire's gone. Wake everybody up. Okay, so go ahead. I never knew that until today.
Whether for 2 days or a month or a year, the cloud lengthened out its stay upon the habitation, abiding thereupon, the sons of Israel remained encamped and set not forward, but at the upgoing thereof they set forward. At the mouth of Yahweh, they encamped. At the mouth of Yahweh, they set forward. The watch of Yahweh they kept. At the mouth of Yahweh, by the hand of Moses.
How many times you see mouth of Yahweh? Yeah. Okay, good. Isaiah,
verse 1.
Yeah. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 2, make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of beaten work shalt thou make them. And they shall be unto thee for calling the assembly, and for setting forward the camps. As soon as they blow therein, so shall all the assembly assemble themselves unto thee, unto the entrance of the tent of meeting. And if...
You see the parentheses there? What does the parentheses say?
1 Corinthians
15:52. Does anybody know what that scripture is?
Mm-mm.
In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Talk about the resurrection. Here they are. And in this case, it could be at night. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about somebody in a porta potty or something. They can't see the fire, and all of a sudden you hear the trumpet. What? Oh, I gotta hurry up. I gotta go. But here it says, for those who aren't seeing the cloud by day or the fire by night, there's going to be a trumpet also. There's going to be a blast, a trumpet, and that is not the same word as in the shout. There's going to be a trumpet for an assembling. It's time to go. What a different way of living. This is the first year. Okay.
And if only once they blow, then shall the princes, the heads of thousands of Israel, gather themselves unto thee. But when ye blow an alarm, then set forward the camps that are encamped eastwards. And when ye blow a second alarm, then set forward the camp that are encamped southwards. An alarm shall they blow for setting them forward. But in calling together the convocation, ye shall blow, but shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall be unto you for a statue age-abiding unto your generations.
And when you go into war in your land against the assailant that assaileth you, then shall ye blow an alarm with the trumpets and bring yourselves to mind before Yahweh your God and be saved from your enemy.
You guys ever heard of the book of Revelation?
Yeah.
Is that a big war?
Yeah.
Big war's coming? And what? Okay. Book of Revelation, resurrection, wars, trumpets, okay? Verse 10.
1 Thessalonians 4:16. And in your day of rejoicing, and in your appointed seasons, and in the beginnings of your months, then shall ye blow with the trumpets over your ascending sacrifices, and over your peace offerings, so shall they be unto you for memorial before your God. I, Yahweh, am your God. And so it came to pass in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, that the cloud lifted itself up from off the habitation of the testimony. And the sons of Israel set forward by their removals from the desert of Sinai, and then the cloud abode in the desert Paran. Thus then did they set forward for the first time at the mouth of Yahweh by the hand of Moses.
The mouth of Yahweh. And shortly after is where they go into shouting and voice. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and I got to see the scripture. An acquaintance of mine's son, their brother, his twin brother died. And verse 13, it's a good way to witness to somebody when they lost somebody. You give them two verses, verse 13 and verse 18. That's page 210. But in verse 13 says, But we do not wish you to be ignorant concerning them who are falling asleep, lest you be sorrowing, even as the rest of them who are without hope. And then you have to read verse 18. So then be consoling one another with these words. So I just digress for a second. But when somebody dies, read those two verses. They come back and they go, what's this about? Read the middle. Read the middle. When you comfort each other and don't be ignorant about falling asleep. But in verse 16, would somebody read that?
Because the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the chief messenger's voice, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall awake first.
Now, we haven't gone there, but we'll go back to Numbers 29:1, and that's really... No, Leviticus, we forgot, I didn't go to Leviticus 23:24. That's Yom Teruah. It's the new year. The new year was with a blast and a trumpet, and that's how they started it. And when we look at this, the resurrection, you know, with the chief messenger's voice, this is I got the Greek word here. It's only used twice. It's it's like archangel. Archangel is like a transliteration of the word, so that's what it sounds like. But there's a very loud voice. And what I believe is that the resurrection, there's a very good chance it's going to be on the first year, the Jewish New Year. There's a blast. It's the New Year. And then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So there's a trumpet, there's a shout, just like in Numbers, a trumpet and a shout. When? The resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Oh yeah, I'm going the wrong way. And if somebody would read, Isaiah, would you read verse 52?
Yeah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, during the last trumpet,
the last
shall sound, and the dead shall rise and corrupt. So stop.
Yeah, incorruptible. We shall be changed. It's if you want to read about death and resurrection, it's 51 to 58. Here's the thing, but here it is, another trumpet, a shout. Now turn to Leviticus chapter 23. That's page 150. I said Leviticus 23.
Did you say 23, 24?
Yeah. In verse 23, Leviticus.
You mean chapter?
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, shall there be unto you a sacred rest, a trumpet blowing, a commemoration. That should be, I think that should be a shouting. No laborious work shall you do. Let me see here. Laborious work shall you do, But you shall bring near an altar flame unto Yahweh.
And so, so if you look up, this is going to be Rosh Hashanah, is what today's Jews call it. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. Scripturally, it's Yom Teruah. And that trumpet blowing is Teruah. And what is Teruah? We read that it could be at the very beginning a shout of war or of
joy.
Joy! Joy! So when is this? Moses, 1,496 years before Christ. 1495, right around there. So how many years before Christ? 1,400 years? 1,500 years? 1,400 years on this day, what they're supposed to start, and how, when does the Jewish day begin? Sunset.
Sunset.
So in the beginning of Genesis, evening and day was one. So Jewish, the next day, and I'm not a scholar, especially today's Jewish, but it was at sunset. So at sunset on this day, a huge blast. Everybody yells, possibly trumpets and yelling and together of war or of joy. What does that sound like?
I don't know.
Anybody remember Jericho? What happened with Jericho? March around Jericho once, don't say a single word. Second day, you march around, everybody has to be silent, but on the seventh day, you march around seven times, and at the noise, you shout. And I don't know if that's the same word, but here's this thing. Faith comes by hearing. When we speak words, when we speak words to yourself or to other people, say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I will kneel before Christ's altar one day, and I will give an account for every word that comes out of my mouth. I repent and I'm sorry. What just happened? Power. Power. But this day is shouting. And so for 1,400 years, the Jewish New Year and was with a day of shouting. Sunset goes. All the people that love Yahweh, what do? Shout! If they're not at war,
it's joy.
What's going on? It's not war, you idiot. It's a day of shouting. Oh, so people have been ready. So how are they yelling? And what happened in Luke chapter 2? If you turn to Luke chapter 2, when was Christ born?
Tishri.
I would believe on, same day.
Same day. Rosh Hashanah, is what they call it. So it would have been September 11th, like 2 BC, was the date with Gregorian calendars, I guess they would say. But it would have been Rosh Hashanah on the new day. And so you can imagine, for 1,400 years, people yelling at the same time. And then at one point, guess what that day was?
The birth.
The seed of the woman is here. Who else was there at the birth? 213. What page is that? Luke. There it is.
The heavenly host.
The heavenly host. The shepherds are in the field. How old are the shepherds? It doesn't say, but we know that David was not big enough for war, so he was taking care of. So we believe that the shepherds were preteens. Here's the shepherds. They're out in the field at the Rosh Hashanah, Teruah. Sun sets, they shout. Who else is in there? Somebody read verse 13.
And suddenly there came to be with the messenger the throng of the heavenly host, praising Yahweh and saying, glory in the highest unto Yahweh, and on earth peace among men and goodwill.
And the word that I have here for throng, this was not part of the teaching, a multitude of overflowing or saturated for throng. On the day of what?
Birth.
On the day of shouting. Who else is shouting? There's a good chance that all of Yahweh's army was shouting. Can you imagine all these people, kids? You guys ready? Got your firecrackers? All right. What is Yahweh? If Yahweh's angels did shout, holy God, did you hear that? What does that sound like? If they did, but we do know there was a throng on the day of shouting, when Christ was born. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. There's going to be a shout and a trumpet. Before that, he goes, I don't want you to be sorrowing like the other people. When Christ comes back, we'll be reunited with whoever we have lost. We're not supposed to be like the unbelievers. Every false religion you turn on, when people die, where do they go? They just exist somewhere else. Eve did not want to believe in death. Anybody who mocks Eve, I talked to somebody, she was mocking Eve. She was a woman from Australia, and we're at a meeting or something. She just kept mocking Eve, did this, did that. I said, what was Eve's sin? Well, she did this. I go, Eve didn't want to believe in death. She wanted to believe that you go somewhere else. That's what Eve wanted to believe. The itching ear says, if you don't want that, we'll give you something else. You just go someplace else. Every false religion has it. What does the scripture say? You sleep, asleep, asleep. Stephen fell asleep. David slept with his fathers. You go asleep. Well, that's kind of a bummer. No, because he's coming back and they're going to wake up. And the word is egairo, an awakening. And it says Yahweh awoke his son from the dead. An awakening. Who's asleep right now? Everybody who has fallen asleep besides Christ Jesus is back to the dirt. Adam, dust you were, dust you'll be again. Oh, that's a depressing thing. He also said the seed of the woman is going to fix us. Everybody's asleep until when? The awakening. When is the awakening going to happen? When there's going to be a shout and trumpets? Why should that get our attention? We just read about a shout and trumpets on what? The day of shouting. You're going to go, what day is that going to be like? Is it going to be at sunset? Like Yom HaTeruah? Then we go back to 1 Corinthians 15:52. It says, any moment, any moment, any moment, any moment. There's a teaching that there's a Greek word, I haven't validated this, is in an atom. It's so small, you can't split it. That's when Christ comes back. And then we go back, it's a different resurrection, but when the disciples want to know about their resurrection, he goes, when you're not ready. Do you think Yahweh's good at timing when people aren't ready?
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. When I get comfortable, guess what happens?
Yeah.
Aaron, it's time to change. And so he waits. And so when is Christ coming back? We don't necessarily know, but there's a very good chance that he's going to come back when we're not ready, or most of us. But it's going to be on the day of shouting. But what a great lesson is in Numbers chapter 9. Don't get comfortable. This life, you're studying about mechanics because you're going to be working on cars when Christ comes back.
Maybe.
You're going to be is he going to need mechanics? Yeah. When Christ comes back, is he going to need linguistics? How many different languages? Is there just going to be one? We don't know. But if he called you to it, there's a purpose for it. Is he going to need teachers in the resurrection? Yes. So when he calls you to these things, we don't know why you called us to this. And we sit there and we go, what is the purpose of this? So you live a lifestyle like Numbers 9. Each day with Yahweh. Where are we going? What are we doing? He's going to need mechanics. Do you want to work on his Harley Davidson? Who's Harley Davidson? Well, King David's going to have one, I think. You think about this, and when is that going to happen? Any moment, any moment, any moment, any moment. So, Yom Teruah, day of shouting, Leviticus 23 and 24, and this year it says that the Jews celebrate October 2nd. So if there was a day you're going to try to time this, I want to say sunset, probably in Palestine. I mean, sunset when? Sunset's relative, right? You got a whole earth.
Yeah.
Probably Palestine time, sunset, if you wanted to do it. But if you did try to time it, what are you doing? He said, don't try to time it. What are you doing? I told you, I'm coming when you're not ready. Get to work. Don't try to time this thing. Get to work. Get to work. Get to work. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. I specifically thank you. Speak blessings into Veronica and Isaiah Strong for this new chapter in their life and for them seeing you with your arm around their shoulders saying, I'm not asking you to do something on your own. Just as David did not kill a lion and bear on his own, my Father who was in heaven was with him, and he said, we'll kill him together. That's how he confronted Goliath. Could it be that these new challenges of your discomfort is to prepare you to kill a Goliath who's going to try to kill your family? Could it be? Was David thankful for the lion and the bear after he cut the head off of Goliath? Absolutely. As long as you are with me, we will do it together, and I will train you into the man and the woman that you are called to be. So don't stay comfortable, but get comfortable being uncomfortable so that I can mold you into the mold that I have desired for your life. Amen. Amen.